Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we'll talk to gubernatorial candidate, California Major Williams. I always want to say Major Adams because it's, well, you've heard enough about that.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man, gang, listen, celebrating an achievement day, finally paid off my student loans, but I gotta ask you, is it really an achievement day since I graduated from California State University, Northridge? Let me know what you think. Go Matadors, orale!
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, unfortunately, my mom went to CSUN, so it's ruined for anybody who thought about going to CSUN. I want to talk about Major Williams, some of his political stances. Streamline the permit process for businesses. Startup businesses should be given a break on fees for the first year. Makes sense. Wants to aggressively encourage small businesses by reaching out to them and reduce taxes, reallocate.
In fact, it does.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Reallocate. Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Real locate.
Real locate is the way I'm reading it. Reallocate wasteful spending towards the stimulus program. Develop a Meet Your Cop annual event like that as well. Good to talk to you, Major Williams.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we'll take anyone other than Newsom. I told TMZ that I would actually prefer one of those plastic owls that they put on the roof to keep the seagulls from shitting on the roof over Newsom. But what's going on with the Newsom recall? Do you know?
Well, at this point, it's gaining tremendous momentum. What I'm finding out across the state, and I'm sure you guys feel it as well personally, is that for the first time in California's history, I think we agree upon something, which is the F word, which is frustration. Californians are unified in frustration right now, and they are actually signing the recall petition. It took a while to gain steam, of course, with the lockdowns and restrictions and whatnot. But as the misguided decisions continue, the more awareness people are starting to have when it comes to recall efforts, and they are actively signing. And I just left a recall booth yesterday in West Hollywood, out of all places, and it was pretty active.
Yeah, I think the number, at least as of yesterday, it's past 1,100,000 signatures. And I think they have to, you probably know better than I do, Major, has to get to 1,800,000, which doesn't seem that far away.
Well, honestly, they only have to get 1.4 million to six. The goal ultimately is to get 2 million signatures, just in case there are some duplicates, some ones that are like written out of the lines or that are thrown out or whatnot. But you only need a little bit over 1.4 million to recall the governor. And we are definitely close there. The recall effort, Rescue California, got an influx of cash of $500,000, an additional $100,000. So people are receiving the mailers now, and people are becoming more active about, those recall efforts, including myself, using my platform to tell people, hey, if you are frustrated, if you are tired of the misguided decisions of a dictator leadership, this is your tool and mechanism to step up, step out, and do something about it.
On Reasonable Doubt, which is coming up this Friday with me, Mark Gergos, we interviewed the senior advisor for the recall effort. And I think he said, sometimes there's a little confusion, but yeah, he needed like 149 or 142 or 14 something, but they would count on a certain percentage of them being invalid. So you want to get obviously a higher number if you're going to throw out a few to get to that. And they're just setting their goal at 2 million. I will tell you this. I tell people this all the time. As a comedian, I always say the worst you can do is confuse people. It's much better to have people go, I didn't think that joke was funny, versus people going, I don't really know what that meant. Like, I didn't get it.
I don't get it.
I'd rather them go, okay, that wasn't a good one, then I don't get it. And I feel this way about Gavin Newsom. I don't get it. I say to people, the smartest guys I know, the Dr. Drews of the world and Mark Garagos is in the world from all different sides of the sort of political spectrum. I go, what's the end game with Gavin Newsom? What's he doing? What's with the schools being closed? What's with the outdoor dining being closed? I don't get it. What's he doing? And they all look at me and they go, I have no idea. No one knows. Right. Which is,
I think universally everyone is saying that exact same thing, because if you're basing it upon the data or even the science, your decisions or the decisions that he's making is not matching that. We know that there is data from hair salons and small businesses, restaurants. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't correlate to him shutting those businesses down and basically tanking our entire economy. And I don't get the fact that he's been in leadership roles in so many different levels, from mayor to lieutenant governor to governor, without any track record of any success from a leadership perspective, which kind of made people like me exist. I'm like, well, if this guy can do it, well, an electrician can do it as well. Somebody like myself. And I think it's going to be the best thing for our state.
That's what got me into morning radio. I'm like, if these two fucking retards can do this, I can do it myself. So inspiring. True. Yeah, the thing about Gavin Newsom, and maybe I'm missing it, but I would just like a little, here's what's going on. Salons are closed. Here's why. Outdoor restaurants are closed. Here's why. Here's some target dates. Here's what we'd like to propose. Here's what I just hear nothing, and it's just, we got to shut it down. I think there was some news about schools reopening in a month or so, but why have they been closed already? And then why in a month? Like, why don't we do it? Why don't we do it on the first? Brian.
You're seeing that lack of transparency and that lack of information really manifest itself right now, especially in LA County. That's where we are. So that obviously makes sense. We talk about it. But, you know, that yesterday they said, oh, people age 65 and older can get the vaccine. Does any of us know how to get a vaccine, where to go, how to do it, what website to go to? Like, I've investigated it a lot because I have a pre-existing condition. So I'm like, oh, I'm next. What do I have to do? No way to know. No, it's borderline impossible to like get your name on a list or apply, or I don't know what to do. I'd like to think that I'm a relatively smart person, but I can't figure it out.
Well, and not only that, but and Major, you may be able to speak to this as well, but that's changed almost every day. So you were in this tier today, but as of yesterday, where? Now that tier doesn't exist anymore. And that's not LA County. That's every other county, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's no way to know.
Where's the clear communication of information?
On a daily basis.
Say it again, Major Williams. Sorry.
The goalposts of what we're trying to accomplish with this, it continues to move and be pushed back every single day or every single week. And as you said, also to your point, without any true reasoning behind those particular decisions, based upon we have to trust the science.
I know I'm a broken record. I know I sound like an insane person, but all the electronic freeway signs, just write over 65 ? Get vaccinated or get vaccine, and they just give a website. And right. Then everyone would, by the way, everyone would either pass under the sign and know it, or if you brought it up, everyone spends so much time on the freeways out here, they just go, I saw the sign. You got to go to www.org, you know, and we could do it. I mean, we have this crazy network of these electronic signs. We could just put it up there.
We also have access to send out information via text. When they really want to get messages out, they can send text messages out to everyone's phone as well to give you that specific information. So at least you're informed, or you know what direction you need to go in regards to the information that pertains to you. So it's possible. But once more, it's just weak leadership and misguided. And I think for whatever reason, it's to keep us in a certain, you know, state of mind psychologically. And we see that the kids are struggling from this. The households are struggling. Suicide is up. Homelessness is up even more so, even though it was already going up under his leadership. So that's why I'm pushing. It's time for a different brand of leadership. Someone who kind of like has at least empathy for what's going on with our state, but also has some solutions and have a collaborative effort type of leadership style to, you know, reach out to you, ask you what your suggestion is, just how you just gave that suggestion right now. That's going on deaf ears, right? I'm going to be the person to say, man, that's a good idea. We should do that, right? But that's not happening with our government right now.
Yeah, you get the amber alerts all the time on your phone. You get the wind warnings or the high wind. We got some COVID alerts too.
Flash Why not flood.
Just be another COVID alert? And also, imagine how every solution for every problem in Los Angeles is loosely based on going to the parking lot of Dodger Stadium. Like, if we didn't have a major league franchise here, we'd be fucked.
SOL.
It was like, we got a problem. Well, I think we can solve it in the parking lot of Dodger Stadium. If we could all just show up in the parking lot, maybe we could cure this COVID-19. But every single solution is like, we got to go to the parking lot of Dodger Stadium. We got to get in line. And then we shall solve this. Yeah, I keep asking people, again, as I stated before, is there something nefarious going on, or is it just wild incompetence? Like, I always just assume it's wild incompetence, but I'm starting to wonder, like, are they trying to shut down small businesses? Like, what is the end game?
Well, for me, it seems like there is a trend. Anytime there's an ability of freedom and independence, like the hair salons, in the boom of entrepreneurs over the last 2.5-3 years, has been a boom of a lot of independence. And you have bills like AB5 that's coming to existence, that's basically, you know, cutting the legs off of independent contractors. So a lot of the dynamics is changing. The truckers, so anytime there's independence, they come in like big government trying to hold us back, saying, no, stay right here with us. You can only go so far. They put a ceiling on everything we're trying to do. So it does feel like it's something is there. You can't really quite put your finger on it. And I don't want to be like an over conspiracy theorist, but I speak to a lot of people and they feel the exact same way. And I know I do as well.
Well, it's interesting that almost everything to do with COVID has magically favored Amazon and Walmart and McDonald's and conversely smashed mom-and-pop restaurants, salons. Like, everything is kind
of... And also our churches.
Right. So everything is kind of, yeah, I mean...
It's not important to us.
Could be a coincidence. but it does seem like everything has kind of gone the direction of sort of big fill in the blank. And sure, it makes you worry, because I don't want to live in that world. Yes, Major Williams.
I really try to understand with all the information that they are sharing with us about the cases going up and things of that nature, at what point are they going to start sharing the data of the recovery? From my understanding and what I know, as many patients that go into these ICUs, into these hospitals, they're actually leaving out at a faster rate. But no one is reporting that, because we know that the recovery rate is high for the coronavirus. So is it to map out this fear and, you know, wear a mask and do as I say perspective and keep us in check based upon that? But I think if they share both of those perspectives, I think at least we'll have a little bit more sanity, where you don't have grown adults coming up to other adults telling me, you know, put your mask on, right? It's just getting like the Wild Wild West out.
I do think it is. I mean, the problem is the news is always going to make more money from the scary than from the hopeful. And I think the powers that be in this city are, as we discussed before you came on with us, are doing the doom and gloom in order to try to scare people into doing the right thing. Also, the most promising, do you have Dr. Drew's drop? I was talking to Dr. Drew earlier today, and one of the most promising therapeutics, which Drew was on, is bamlanivimab.
Bamlanivimab.
Right. Here's how it's said. Sorry.
Bamlanivimab. Bamlanivimab.
Yes,
I told him. Bamlanivimab.
So clear.
I said to him, this is the best thing we got so far, but no one can pronounce it, so it's screwing everybody up. And then he said, oh, the name's made up. It's not a real name. They just made it up. And I was like, they just made up a name nobody could pronounce? Yep.
This is the before picture of from like the medication commercials. Every medication, whatever it's called, some catchy name, Cialis or whatever, they put the actual technical name underneath.
Right.
Some impossible name. Just get a marketing team on this.
This is Black Betty, Bamba Lamba Lam, and that's just what we should call
it. They would just call it Cureletta. you know, or something good. Yep. Like, one of those stupid positive euphemistic names they give for the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, like Happyville, you know.
Cheeritol.
Cheeritol.
This is good pill.
Yeah, just do that with Bamlanivimab. Yes.
Bamlanivimab.
One more time.
Bamlanivimab.
Two more times, Jura.
Bamlanivimab. Bamlanivimab.
All right. So I still can't parrot it. Let me give a plug to Major Williams' website, by the way. Go to majorforgovernor.com. Do you think that the Newsom thing will be successful, the recall, at least?
I do. I feel like the timing of where we are right now, the heightened sense of frustration from the small businesses, from the parents with the closure of the schools, with also just some of the misguided, legislation that he's passed as well here recently. I feel like it really is an opportunity to do it. And this is the prime time to try to go in and unseat the governor. Any other time, it'd be extremely hard. But dealing with the fact that how he's dealt with everything with the coronavirus and the lockdowns, it's kind of like opened up an opportunity for us to go in and change the narrative there.
Well, once again, majorforgovernor.com. Major Williams, thanks for joining us on the program.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I appreciate it, man. Big fan. Keep it up.
Good luck. We shall be following you. All right. Quick break. We'll come back with the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Start off with some sad news. We know last May, Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy passed away from COVID-19 complications. Well, Siegfried Fischbacher has also died. He died of pancreatic cancer. He was 81. If that name sounds familiar, but you can't quite put your finger on it, they were a top attraction on the Vegas Strip for many years, known for their dazzling magic, white lions and tigers. Fischbacher passed away Wednesday at his home, just 2 days after his family revealed he was battling cancer. They were a fixture at the Mirage from 1990 to 2003. And you probably remember their act ended on October 3rd, 2003, when Roy Horn was nearly mauled to death by a white tiger named Manticore. Their act for a long time was the most visited show on the Strip.
Who has been parodied more than those two?
Yeah.
And I did see him. I saw him with David Alan Greer, and I can't remember who else, right before the whole Manticore thing went down.
Was it magical?
It was. We were filming we were taping Cranky Anchors in Vegas, and I was like, we got to go see Siegfried and Roy. And everyone made fun of me, but I said, yeah, you got to do it. I basically
got to go see the Statue of Liberty.
You know what I said? I said, I'm sure 1977 they were making fun of anyone who went to see Elvis. Mm-hmm. That's my thing. You don't want to see that fat has-been. That's your dad's, you know, crooner or whatever. But I was like, nah, I said, with time, you'll be glad you saw them.
Yeah. And now it's over and you get to say you saw them.
That's right.
And, you know, I'm not a big fan of these animal acts like that. That
Bobby Barasini.
Hate him. Hate everything he stands for. I hate. He is.
That's your Niagara Falls.
Oh, yeah. Yo, any animal act, circuses, I don't like that shit. And I don't like that guy. That being said,
Bobby Barasini.
I hate Bobby Barasini.
But you should at least memorize his name, because if you're going to be this animated.
Why should I have any brain space taken up with that monkey beater?
But because, by the way, oh, I thought it was a euphemism for masturbate. Because when I go.
Get out of here, you monkey beater.
Brian, ask me what the worst car ever is.
Adam, I'm curious. What is the worst car
ever? Oh, goddamn that what's its bumper. Shit.
I mean, you're a car guy. I figured you're so passionate.
Yeah, the
about
fucking comes in white and red and stuff. God damn it! Such a fiery piece of shit. I wish every one of them would be pushed into the fucking Grand Canyon. The
very nonspecific about this car you hate.
That's the fucking thing with the fucking wheels. God damn it! It's fucking the worst. The worst.
Ask you what that savior medication is that Drew was touting.
What was the savior medication?
Bamlanivimab.
Wow.
What's the monkey beater's name? Don't know, don't care. Hate him.
All right, but if you're going to be that animated, you should commit.
Bobby Barasini's a
Bobby
bitch.
Bobby Barasini. You got alliteration right there.
Right. And
right
he beats there. The baboons.
And he beats the baboons. So, oh, my God, the four Bs.
All that being said, I have to imagine that Siegfried and Roy treated these animals like they were royalty. I'm sure they're the best of everything.
That's not what I heard.
Isn't there footage of them in the pool with the tigers? Is there anything better than a Bengal tiger in a pool?
Oh, majestic.
Sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, you ever see like tiger swimming? It's the best.
I'd like to see that. All right. Well, hopefully we'll get that because that will definitely calm me down. Rick Snyder, he was the governor of Michigan during the 2014 Flint water scandal. He has been charged, finally, with crimes relating to Legionnaires' disease that broke out and led to 12 deaths. According to court records, he faces charges of willful neglect of duty that carries a punishment of up to a year behind bars or $1,000 fine.
Wait, Legionnaires' disease is what he's... What do you do with that?
Yeah. Flint water. Didn't that go on for years?
It did.
An insane amount of time?
And I would not assume that this is a cased closed situation. This is probably, I imagine, what's getting the ball rolling. But Legionnaires' disease is like say you have like a dirty humidifier. You know, you're breathing in a lot of bacteria and stuff.
Okay.
But the charges seem a little soft, but others were in Snyder's administration. They're also possibly facing charges. And the problem started when Snyder's administration switched, if you didn't see the movie, from Flint, from Detroit's water system to the Flint River. And that was just all the corrosion and the disgustingness. And that's when people were, you know, turning on their faucets and lighting the water on fire.
Well, if I know Michael Moore, he'll have no opinions on this subject.
Right. He's been awfully quiet.
Yeah.
And this is a, oh, God, what's that super attorney?
Javier Zini.
No. God attorney. Damn it. I had her in there and interviewed her.
Julia
Roberts movie.
Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah, I think Aaron Brockovich is on this one.
That would make sense.
Makes sense, the water issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, some other allegations coming out, pretty bad ones, against Dr. Dre and Nicole Young. They got really ugly because they're going through a divorce. ET Online reports that in court documents, she alleges that he held a gun to her head multiple times back in 2000 and 2001. She says he also punched her in the face at least twice. In 2016, he kicked down a door to a room she was hiding in to try to escape from him. Young says that her husband, quote, decimated my personhood to the extent that I currently suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome. His long-term abuse must be a factor that the court takes into account in awarding support and fees. She says she never went to the authorities before about his violent behavior because she was scared. And, you know, this isn't the first time we've heard this. I don't know if you remember the name Dee Barnes. She accused him of violent acts against a woman.
Ooh, Dee Barnes is the name of Liam Neeson's character, whose wife was killed during the Barnes. Yeah. Name is Derek Barnes.
Yeah.
Yes, ironically. You know, don't you think, like, she wants, you know, $300,000 a month or whatever, and, you know, this sort of lifestyle accustom thing, or she wants $1 million a month or whatever the hell she wants.
Right.
She's going for it all, right? And he's a cajillionaire. So, but don't you think that, you know, like when you apply for unemployment, there are other things that work this way where they go, if you make $30,000 a year, you can get $500 a week. And if you make $80,000 a year, you can get $650. And if you make over $100,000 a year, you just get the max.
Right.
That's just the max is $950 a week. That you feel like there should just be a max for a divorce. Like, what's the difference between? I mean, it's pretty lucky that you married a guy who invented Beats and sold them to Apple for $2 kajillion. Like, but I don't know. Does that mean you have to be a millionaire for the rest of your life? Like, couldn't we just get to some threshold? Like, it's like when Bezos. gets divorced, does his ex deserve $150 billion, or could we just get to... Now, I don't know what she did. If she... And maybe she helped them run the business and all that, and that could definitely be factored in. But if you didn't, in an absence of that, shouldn't it just be above a certain threshold and you get, you know, $500K a year? And
if you can't, Dr. Dre would agree with you.
Yeah, if you can't figure out a way to live off of $500K a year, that'll be on you. And then you go, well, it's not the manner I'm accustomed to living. And it's like, well, you got to downsize sometimes. Well,
you're not divorced.
Right.
Yeah, but I have to assume that from what she said, that this is more punitive. You know,
isn't
about what am I accustomed to? This is how many times did you put me through a wall? Well, you're going to pay now.
Yeah, he is.
He may ask for that $70 million back from USC.
That's right. Take his plaque off the wall. Armie Hammer, involved in a bizarre scandal in the last couple of days, has the internet buzzing about claims of graphic messages, possible cannibalism. This is just really, really, we got to get this figured out. So over the weekend, several unverified private messages were posted online that claim to be Armie Hammer. The messages include accounts of sexual acts, fantasies. One says, I need to drink your blood. One says, you're my angel. You need to save me. And it's all very bizarre. E! News hasn't confirmed the authenticity of these accounts and messages, but the poster was somebody, House of Effie.
This could be his loser twin brother who's posting this shit.
That's right. Always up to no good.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Knows his way around a computer.
But the House of Effie person that posted this then claims that they weren't real, but then on Monday took that back and said, no, these are real. Meanwhile, Armie Hammer is, and I will use this correctly, breaking his silence, because I think we were waiting to hear from him. He told E! News in a statement, I'm not responding to these bullshit claims, but in light of the vicious and spurious online attacks against me, I cannot in good conscience now leave my children for 4 months to shoot a film in the Dominican Republic. Lionsgate is supporting me in this, and I'm grateful to them for that. But he also revealed that he's no longer co-starring in J-Lo's movie Shotgun Wedding. They've parted ways.
I'm sure it was his choice.
What does that mean? I mean, it's some sort of, let's just say it was all fabricated out of whole cloth. Like you drink blood and you're a vampire and whatever. That's going to stop you from going and shooting a movie somewhere?
That seems weird to me. I don't get that. Now, I have a statement from that company, from that studio. It says, given the imminent start date of Shotgun Wedding, Armie has requested to step away for the film, and we support him in his decision. But that also doesn't add up.
Yeah. I learned from my favorite show, TMZ, that he's, I think, recently got divorced and is with a much younger gal. I think that was my TMZ takeaway from a few weeks ago.
Thank you.
Maxipata can look that up. But this feels very weird that he would, maybe he doesn't want to work with, you say Jennifer Lopez?
Mm-hmm. Jennifer Lopez.
Could she take a fucking week off? Jesus Christ.
Making everybody look bad.
She's if she's not, you know, doing the inauguration, she's at the gym, the Super Bowl halftime, fucking give it a break. Sorry, go ahead.
Would you say that to The Rock?
Yeah, I would say that to The Rock, too.
He was forced out. I'm sure he was, you know, he had to write that via his publicist or whatever. Like, Armie Hammer's kind of on the fringe of being, like, an actor who works a lot and a big star. Like, he's not quite there. So I imagine co-starring in a movie with Jennifer Lopez would have been very, very, very lucrative for his career. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he got paid a lot. I'm saying it would have been very good for his career. This doesn't add up.
I have a theory.
But this scares me. Yeah.
She's a diva, and she's kind of on the short side, and he's really tall. Maybe she didn't want to. Short people don't like working around tall people. I know.
Oh, you're talking about Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, sorry. Yes. Mm-hmm. I know I'm tall, and people just don't like working with me, but it has nothing to do with my attitude.
No, it's because you're tall.
It's my height.
You're a lanky fella.
Even have trouble with other guys that are 6'3", 6'4". They just have an attitude issue because of my height. So it's like Tom Cruise. He has to have the short, you know, leading ladies, right?
He has to stand on the apple box with Nicole Kidman.
Right. So I don't know. Maybe
there's something
there. Is he dating a young chick? He's separated after 10 years of marriage. I think he's with some. Anyway, feels weird. I'll tell you what's weird. I'll tell you what's weird about any of these stories. When somebody has an allegation of something weird and something nefarious and something whatever, and then you go, oh, that's completely untrue. That's insane. I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. And then you go, and I'm going to cancel my next project.
Yeah.
Like, that feels weird, right? Like, if it's just nothing, then why not just get on with it?
But also, what did he do?
I mean, I don't know.
He sent some creepy texts and now he doesn't get to work? This one I don't understand. Like,
also,
I don't get it.
Can't we, you know, there's a whole COVID thing. People are sitting home. They're hitting the sauce pretty hard. The phone's fucking sitting on their lap. Mm. You know what I mean? Can we cut at least Californians a little slack for some of the texts and tweets?
Yeah.
And, you know, people are home drinking pretty good. They got that phone on them. You got to think about that. Yeah.
We'll look back on this and be like, it was COVID. COVID text.
It was COVID.
Right. Etsy, you know, the it's like a homemade sort of craft website where you can get like lots of little bespoke things from artists that'll, you know, create it for you. Etsy has pulled one of their shirts, which I did not realize you could get on Etsy. Etsy's like, you know, jewelry and like cute baby clothes. You can also get a T-shirt that reads Camp Auschwitz. They blocked the seller from the business only after a man was seen wearing the shirt at the riots that happened in the Capitol. I think Kaylin has both those pictures. So he was spotted. And that man, by the way, was arrested. There he is. We're looking at a picture of him.
Got that on Etsy?
Wow.
Yes, there is a version of that shirt. And it says Camp Auschwitz with a skull and crossbones. It says, his says, work makes you free, which is what it said, work our bike. Whatever, that was what you'd see when you went into the camps. And this shirt also exists on Etsy. We're looking at that right now. Last week, that rioter stormed the Capitol, making the headlines for this. Otherwise, this would have, I imagine, a safe and secure home on Etsy where nobody would bother it.
Chris, take a note. We for the crowdfunding campaign, we had the Camp Auschwitz as one of the.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Let's just go Camp Beverly Hills.
I like that better, too.
I told Nate he thought it was edgy. I said, probably cross the line.
Yeah.
So you can get to
sort of wanna,
so now you could wear that when you're having lunch with me and Cedric the Entertainer.
Okay.
There you go.
Cancel the Dachau one and the
Yeah. That goes. And Nate's from Montana. He doesn't really know the ways of Los Angeles, you know?
Right.
All right, sorry.
Or you're going to want to order quick. It's going to hold down.
Remember, were you guys around for all the Camp Beverly Hills T-shirts?
Yep.
Did that make its way to your town?
Yep.
No, what was that?
They were cool.
I remember the 90210 T-shirts, because that was big at the time, but I don't know what this is.
There was Camp Beverly Hills was like T-shirt, sweatshirt. I don't know if it was a place like. There was these weird, like, Olivia Newton-John owned a place called Koala Blue, and it was all just Australian shit. There's Camp Beverly Hills. Gina's showing us.
Saw that.
I thought it was just a brand.
I guess, a brand, and it was popular, but it was just on T-shirts and, like, sweat jackets. But they didn't have any, I don't know, they'd have, like, a Camp Beverly Hills store next to the Kardashian store or something. What was that Kardashian store, Gina?
Dash. I mean, I don't know.
Right. Is that they don't have that anymore.
No,
do they?
They're so over that life. They don't have time for that.
Yes.
Speaking of big money, Mickey Mantle, that baseball card just sold for millions at auction. It sold for $5.2 million, to be exact, smashing the previous record by over $1 million, according to TMZ. This is a 1952 number 311 Topps Mickey Mantle. It's considered one of the most desirable trading cards in existence. Here it is right there. This isn't the only time that this particular Mantle card's been sold. Back in 2018, it sold for $2.88 million. 2 years later, it doubled that. Before the Mantle card set the
new
record.
Wait a minute. What are the dates? Let's try to figure out
the
value.
In 2018, it sold for $2.89 million.
Right.
Then it almost doubled in value 2 years later.
Yeah, you guys, anyone who's like buying something at an auction needs to all the all the husbands need to keep this in their back pocket for the misses when, you know, you're going, you want to pay blah, 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 blah for blah, 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 blah. You go, yeah, this is what could theoretically happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, before the Mantle card set the record, a Mike Trout 2009 Bowman Chrome Draft Prospect Superfractor held the title for $3.9 million. And who bought this card for 5.2? It's a guy named Rob Goff, G-O-U-G-H. He's the guy behind the CBD brand Dope CBD, which apparently does very well because he bought the card for $5.2 million.
How crazy is it that Trout, who's still playing, has a card out? You know, all the other cards are like Honus Wagner and shit like that. The idea that this guy's playing and his thing's out. Camp Beverly Hills is relaunching this year.
Wow. How do you do it? What do you know?
Camp back in session.
I just camp back
Why
in session.
Why would that have been on your radar?
Who's going
to? I don't know if I ever brought up Camp Beverly Hills on this show.
Never
heard of it.
But they're relaunching this year after
a
35-year hiatus or whatever. Is it just like a clothing line, or was there like they had retail stores and stuff?
Yeah, so it was a clothing line launched in 77, became a pop culture phenomenon in the 80s. But then due to all the 80s nostalgia today, they announced a relaunch. They were bought out in the 2010s by a guy named Jay Foreman. And yeah, they're making a big comeback now.
Well, sign me up.
Line.
Yep. Sorry. Right. What are you saying, Brian?
I was a baseball card nerd for a few years of my life. It was one of the most important things in my probably 10, 11-year-old life. I remember when I used to get Beckett Baseball Card Monthly, which was a monthly magazine that was literally a price. It was the industry like price leader. I mean, they set the prices basically for cards, and the Mickey Mantle card was between $20,000 and $50,000 back then. This would have been 1990, basically. But I'm wondering if Chris can look this up. My guess is the Mike Trout card you're talking about is either a one-off or they made like five. Because he's a great player, but there's no way it should be that much money. Aside from being like a one of a kind.
Are you speculating that they didn't make a whole fuckload and that almost everyone has one?
Well, is you that wondered out
is that
loud,
your assertion?
No, I know. So
they made one or five.
It's a one of a kind.
Yeah. I mean, sort of obviously, but when I'm the guy who didn't know cookie had to do with
you're
cooking.
You're not alone.
Not at all.
But ask Kalen. I'll bet he doesn't know cookie is either. But yeah, obviously it was very limited, otherwise impossible, but still pretty cool that a guy that was playing in modern day was laying claim to was the most expensive card. Kalen says, no, he doesn't know. He doesn't know Cookie.
No.
Did he respond to his name?
Yeah, Kalen? He did.
Okay, just checking. All right, sometimes I just want to make sure.
That part he
knows.
It,
He knows you're talking?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, he was aware.
Okay, all right. But I didn't think he'd know. This is not a young man sport, this wagon train cooking.
I thought maybe Kalen would have an edge. Because of dad.
He was in Tombstone.
But no.
Yeah, dad was in Tombstone.
Yeah, his dad was in a lot of Westerns, and you'd think. Kalen was in a Western.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
What Western?
There's some show where he was just Michael Biehn brought him in just as like a cameo. Kalen was just extra. Yeah, Kalen was just there waving. That. I'll find it.
It's the Mandalorian. He was an Ewok.
You got to ask Fonda Lear if he knows what if he's doing the cookie. Oh, did you ask Kalen? He just walked in.
Oh, no, I'm getting that show that Kalen was in, but I'll ask Fonda Lear.
Yeah, ask Fonda Lear. This is important. See, being right is cool, but being right on an island, that can get you thrown down. That gets you thrown down a well.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Historically, this did not go well for Copernicus.
You're right about that.
Oh, all these updated references.
I know. Wagon trains, Copernicus.
Mickey Mantle.
Mickey Mantle. Matt didn't know Cookie either, but did he know the reference, like that the wagon train cook was named Cookie? Like we have to figure out whether people even know the reference point. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Let me check.
Yeah, you should check. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grant.
Okay. Let's see here.
But this is important.
Yeah. Well, let's. This is a kind of a feel-good story. Law & Order SVU, been around for a million years. They're trying to help actors who've been unemployed for a year now because of coronavirus, and specifically Broadway actors. Fox News says SVU is hiring Broadway stars who haven't been able to perform since last March when all the shows were shut down. The closure has left 97,000 workers who rely on Broadway for their livelihood just grappling with unemployment. SVU is currently in its 22nd season, and it's about to get a lot fancier.
More fabulous.
A lot more fabulous.
I was Sweeney Todd for 8 years. Great, you're a fucking corpse.
Matt Fondelier's not heard of any of this cookie business. Before, so he doesn't know the reference.
And I grew up with this stuff, and I didn't know it.
No. See, this is our confusion. The confusion is there's two groups of dimwits in the Corolla galaxy of dimwits. There's the group that didn't connect cookie,
right,
the name with of the cook, with cooking.
Yeah.
And then there's the even dimmer bulbs in this cloaked Christmas tree of stupidity. Those are the ones who have no idea what we're referencing.
Okay.
They haven't heard of cookie. They don't know what it is that he's the cook. Right.
Right.
I think Matt may not even know the genre thing, but either way, couldn't they, Gina, you love Broadway.
I do.
They not figured out a way to put a bunch of cameras in there and charge everyone $19 a download and do a live whatever. Doesn't it seem like they should have done that?
I agree. They've done a lot of the Zoom stuff, but it's from what I've seen, it's mostly all charity. They're also doing something that's kind of cameo like. So, you know, like one-on-one, like pay $100 and you get to talk to Idina Menzel for 20 minutes. You know, everyone's trying a different angle, but I don't know anything about, you know, full casts coming together and live streaming anything. And I agree. They should have done that.
All right. So did I step on it, or they're just going to hire these actors for?
It's just going to be a fabulous season of SVU because it's all going to be Broadway-licious.
All right. Let's bring it home before we get into gear.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right. I want to thank Nate Adams for coming in here. Give a plug to microventures.com/am. You can go there and be a producer on one of these cool docs we're making. I want to thank Major Adams for zooming in. Sorry, Major Williams.
Major Adams.
I had
and
to do
it. And we end as we began.
I couldn't do it. I said Nate Adams. There's no way I wasn't going to go Major Adams. Major Adams. Sorry, Major Williams.
Williams.
Major4Governor.com is where you go. Naples, Florida tonight and tomorrow night as you hear this. And Off the Hook. Come on out and say hi. Kyle Dunnigan's going to be on tonight. Oklahoma City, Kansas City, Missouri, Royal Oak in Michigan, and Waukegan, Illinois also playing shows. Go to amcurl.com for all the live shows. Until next time, this is Adam for Major and Nate and Gene and Bald saying mahalo.
The Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. Go to adamcarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.